Genesis chapter 13 tells us of an issue that comes between Lot and his Abraham and his nephew Lot. Abraham was one of those people that just always seemed to do the right thing. Now, he messed up a couple times when he picked up an Egyptian handmaid. When he was in Egypt, he shouldn't have gone to Egypt. He picked up, by the way, there's a good lesson in that for us, in the fact that anytime you go somewhere that God doesn't want you to go, it's going to influence you in ways God doesn't want you to be influenced. Okay? That's what happened with the children, with Abraham and Sarah and with Hagar. Where'd they get the Egyptian handmaid? When they went to Egypt. But anyway, we see here in chapter 13 that there's an issue between Lot and Abraham. And the issue is that both of them become real wealthy. Now, I believe that there's a lesson there as well, in the fact that if you hang around the right kind of people, which Lot did, you're going to be blessed. You hang around the wrong kind of people, which is what happened to Lot after he left Abraham, you're going to be cursed. There's some things here in this passage. There's a lot of lessons here, but I've entitled the message, "The Man Who Ruined His Family." The man who ruined his family. You see, one of the things that we see here is the fact that Abraham was trying to do the right thing. And he was trying to do the right thing by settling a dispute between his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Because what happened is they had so much cattle and sheep and all that they were actually running into each other. They were getting mixed up. They were fighting over, the herdmen were actually fighting over the property for the pasture land and the watering holes and things of that nature. And so there was a rift between them, and Abraham said, "We ought not be fighting. We're family. So let's get this thing settled. I'm going to give you a chance." He said, "The land we're in right now is just too small for us. But we've got the whole land before us. Lot, I'm going to give you a chance. You choose which way you want to go." And we know what Lot chose. We know the situation. But there's some decisions that were made through the process, and it messed his family up. Now, we know some things about Lot. Even Lot's mentioned in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 2. And we'll get to that in a little while, but the truth is, let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Let's read verse 1 through and following. Verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "And Abram, now don't get mad at me if I call him Abraham, because we're used to calling him Abraham. His name will eventually become Abraham from here. But anyway, "But Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let therefore be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, we thank you for your blessed book, which you've entrusted to us. Lord, we ask you to help this preacher preach your word, not mine. Preach what you want preached. Help me not to say one word more or one word less. But Lord, help me to preach the exact message you want for your people to hear. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Please help me preach your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As we see this particular issue here, what's going on is the fact that Lot decided he had a choice to make, and he was influenced. When we have decisions to make, I want to ask you a question. What influences you? How do you make a decision? Sometimes, and I've asked young people this, actually recently, what is the determining factor on how you make a decision? Because we see crazy decisions in our world today. I mean, our Supreme Court and different states are now saying it's all right for men to marry men, women to marry women. It's all right to kill babies right up till they're born. I praise God for some of these states that have actually outlawed abortion. And some of them have gone as far as to say if you can detect a heartbeat, it's considered murder. Praise God for some people that actually make decisions right. You say, well, you've got no reason to say what's right and what's wrong. We've got the reason. It's all in this book. It's God's book. And what happens in our world is if we make decisions based on anything other than God's book, count on it blowing up in your face. Because what happens is God's given us a book to guide us, to teach us, to tell us what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what's evil and what's righteous. But Lot, and you look at these people and you say, well, Lot didn't have a Bible. No, Lot didn't have a Bible. But Lot had Abraham. And Abraham knew enough about God to know when God told him what's right, what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Yes, he was a man. He made mistakes. He shouldn't have gone to Egypt when he did. He shouldn't have had Ishmael by Hagar like he did. He made mistakes. But for the most part, Abraham was following God. I want to tell you something. I think a lot about Abraham sometimes in the fact that God told him, I want you to leave.
Okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? And the Lord said, I'll tell you later. Think about that. I've thought a lot about Abraham in the fact that when God called me to go to Bible college, and he clearly, I could not do anything else. It was just a pressure on me to leave the phosphate mines here in Bartow. 26 years I was here, but it was a pressure that it was a calling. I couldn't say I audibly heard the Lord, but boy, I could hear him in here. And he was telling me, this is what I want for you. Every time I heard Glenn Mark's radio station advertise the college, it was almost like the Holy Spirit said, you need to call them. That's what you need to do. You need to be in that college. Then I got to a point where Sharon and I had made a decision, and we were going to sell our house and build a house in a gated community. And that blew up in our face to a point where we couldn't go that way. The Holy Spirit just told me clearly, you better not go this way. You're going without me. And so I started praying. I said, Lord, I believe I'm where you want me, but if I'm not, I want you to move me. Don't pray that prayer lightly, okay? He meant it a whole lot more than I did, I think. But the truth is, I got rolled out of my job at the mines with 24 years seniority. Got busted back to where I had to go back to shift work. I hadn't worked shift work in 20 years. I was in maintenance. But I started taking a night class. And that one night class became two night classes. Those two night classes became two more in the next semester. Within a year after I got enrolled, I was enrolling as a full-time student. Why? You say, you're crazy. I am. The Bible says we're peculiar people. Amen. And I want this world to think I'm crazy because I'm following a God that I've never seen. I believe in a book that was just as much written by him as if he put the pen to paper himself. And he's proved himself every step of the way. And when we make decisions based on this book and what the Holy Spirit of God is teaching us, you'll never regret it. You see, one of the things that I always thought about is I thought, well, I can always mess my life up. I used to go into juvenile jails and they'd have styrofoam cups there, and I just grabbed the styrofoam cup and I said, you see this? I said, that's how quick you guys can mess your life up. Anybody can mess their life up. You can, I can, everybody can mess their life up. But I just decided I was going to get on board with Jesus and just see what he could do with this old sorry rascal. And it's blown my mind. I just sit here and watch him work. I sit here in this building and see what he's doing. Amen. Sending us people. People that aren't going to fit in a lot of churches because you guys are too much. Much better. You know the Bible better than a lot of places.
Right.
And I just shake my head and say, Lord, I sure love what you're doing, but I still can't believe you're doing it with me. But he'll do it for anybody. The key is follow the book. But that's exactly what Lot didn't do. See, he was trained by Abraham. Here, Abraham grew up in the city of Ur of the Chaldees, where everybody was idol worshippers. except Abraham. And he knew the true God. And he followed the true God. And he said, well, Lord, you're calling me to go this, leave, and but you're not telling me where to go. I want you to understand, the Lord's not going to tell you any more than you need to know. It would have scared me to death to a point where I might not have gone to Bible college if I'd known the Lord was going to uproot me and take me to Missouri. But it was a process. He's not going to tell you the second step until he tells you the first, until you take that first step. There's no need. And so what's going on here is the fact that Abraham, even though he didn't understand where God was sending him, he said, the Lord said, go, I'm going. Not sure where we're going to end up. I'd like to have heard that conversation between Abraham and Sarah. Would you?
Yeah.
Honey, we're moving. No, first thing, why are we moving? We got all our family here. Second of all, well, where are we going? I'm not sure. Think about it. But that's why the Bible says it was counted unto him for faith. It was his faith. By faith, Abraham, he made those decisions. And you and I have to know the Lord really good to make those decisions by faith. You say, well, I don't like living by faith. I want to tell you something. If you're saved, you're not saved by your works.
That's right.
You're saved by faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what we have to do is, hey, one of the things that kept going over and over in my mind, the Lord kept telling me, said, Brian, you trusted me for your eternity. Why don't you trust me today? Why don't you trust me with this decision? Why don't you trust me with that decision? Why don't you do what I'm telling you to do, and just see how it works out? Abraham was that type of individual where he knew it didn't make sense to him. It didn't make sense to Sarah. Sarah followed Abraham, and they went. And Lot saw how Abraham followed God, and God blessed him. And not only did God bless Abraham, but he blessed Lot because of his association to Abraham. People around you are going to be blessed if you follow the Lord and follow his book. They're going to be blessed more than you can even imagine. Your influence on them is going to be super. Your influence on them is going to be special. But you can't make the decisions for them. All you can do is teach them how you make decisions. Abraham got to a point where he said, it comes time, we've got to separate, Lot. You've got to go your way and I've got to go my way. When children grow up, we understand that it's time for them to make their own decisions. When they fly the coop, when they get out on their own, get married, and it comes a point in time where they have to make their own decisions. And what we need to do is to realize we can't make them for them anymore. We can help them. We can encourage them. We can train them on how to make decisions. But the bottom line is we can't make those decisions for them. I'll be honest with you. There would not be one person that I ever shared the gospel with that would not get saved if I could make the decision for them. But we can. And Abraham got to this point where Lot did not make the... He had to make the decision on his own. And Lot, what was influencing Lot?
Look at what it says. Verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt." Now, whenever you read about the land of Egypt in the Bible, a lot of times it is a type of the world. The children of Israel wanted to go back into Egypt rather than follow the Lord. When we go, as Christians, when we go back into the world, it's a type of going back into Egypt, going back towards to the things of the world. And I want you to know this, the devil has tricks and traps that are real pretty. There's a real colorful spider in South America in the jungles, and that spider will get on the end of a branch and disguise himself as a flower, and a unsuspecting butterfly or maybe a hummingbird will come by and light on that flower, thinking it's a flower that they're going to get some pollen from, and the spider gets it. The devil uses those kind of things in our world today. There's a lot of spiders out there that are going to get you that you think you're going to get something out of. The devil makes them real pretty. He makes them real desirable. That's what he did for Lot. He wanted Lot to go into Sodom. All he had to do is first off say, "Boy, I've heard about that place called Sodom. They've got all kinds of shopping centers and all kinds of computer stores, or they've got all kinds of this, or amusement parks, or all these kind of things. I've heard about these places. We're going to go check it out." And he pitched his tent towards Sodom, but the next thing you see, he's in Sodom. I want to tell you, the Bible says for us to abstain from all appearance of evil. You better put some safeguards in your life. There are things in this world that you better stay away from. Hey, alcohol is not a temptation to me. I could go in a bar, but I'm not going to go into a bar. I could witness to people because I know people in there need Jesus. But I would harm my testimony. What we need to do is to realize we're going to put things in our life that are going to keep us away from those dangerous places. And Lot didn't do that. And what happened was the fact that he made the decision to go into Sodom. And we see, if you go to, turn over to chapter 19 right quick. Chapter 18 tells us that the Lord and two angels were coming and talked to Abraham about what he was going to do to the land, to the cities in the plain, and Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities, and that's where the Lord, or where Abraham actually was able to negotiate with the Lord. Will you destroy the city for 50 righteous, or will you destroy the city for 40 righteous, or 20 righteous, or 10 righteous? And what he was saying, he stopped at 10 because he thought that at least Lot, he knew that Lot was saved. And I personally believe Abraham led him to the Lord. He got saved because of Abraham. And by the way, I don't want anybody to mistake what I'm saying. Those Old Testament people got saved the same way you and I get saved, by faith. You don't believe it? Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read about all of them, how they got saved by faith. All the way back to Enoch. But anyway, what happened was the fact that Lot made a decision based on what he wanted. That is the wrong, wrong way to make a decision. If you're basing it on what you want rather than what you can get permission from the Lord to do, it's bad news. The Lord will give us leeway, but He's not going to override your free will. We all have a free will. But look at what it says. The angels came into the town. By the way, it gives us an indication that, look at verse 5. It says, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, These are the men of the city. Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." These were homosexuals. And don't believe this garbage that people say, well, the sin of Sodom was inhospitality. That's foolish garbage. They were homosexuals. They were perverts. They were sexual deviants. And it influenced Lot's family when he moved in. And what we see, how do you know that, preacher? Well, first off, Lot had messed up his testimony when he moved into Sodom to a point where his sons-in-law, which were probably his daughters married when they moved into Sodom, they didn't believe him when he told them that we need to get out, the city's going to be destroyed. Lot's wife, what happened to her? As the angels were taking them out, they were instructed not to look back, and she looked back. I don't believe she was concerned about the city of Sodom. She was concerned about her children, her daughters, maybe even had grandchildren. But Lot lost his married daughters in Sodom. Like I said, maybe even grandchildren. Lost his sons-in-laws. Lost his wife when she looked back. And then one of the most hideous events takes place after his wife turns into a pillar of salt and his two remaining daughters believed that the whole world was destroyed because all they saw was destruction. And they said, we need to raise up seed to our father. And so they got Lot drunk. And they had incest with their father. Now, where did they learn all this stuff? These were children that were living at home. These were girls that had never been around any kind of stuff, and except once they moved into Sodom, they learned all that stuff. And by the way, Israel's paying for the price of Lot's decision even today, because some of the children of Israel are being persecuted by the children of Moab, which was one of the children, and Ammon, the Ammonites. You ever heard of the Ammonites? All because Lot didn't have the discernment to keep his children close to the Lord, keep his family close to the Lord. And it all blew up. Now you say, how do you know Lot was saved? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. I think it's interesting. Sometimes you see the all the way in the back of the New Testament about different people like Lot and Noah and even Enoch is described as a preacher in the book of Jude. But look at what it says in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, starting with verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. There's where you find that Noah was a preacher, okay? A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered, here you go, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, okay, righteous man, you're not righteous, I'm not righteous until we get saved, and then God sees us as righteous. Lot was not righteous in his own right, but he was righteous in God's eyes because he was saved. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He knew what was going on around him, but he moved into the city anyway, and he stayed, and he became one of the city counselors sitting in the gate. All because he made one bad decision to go where he shouldn't have gone, to do what he shouldn't have done. He should not have had anything to do with the city of Sodom. He should have avoided that place like a plague. And you say, well, maybe he didn't know what was in there. If that's the case, which I don't necessarily believe, if that was the case, as soon as he got the first hint, you should have headed out. But no, he became wealthy. His daughters found husbands there. He became a counselor there. He liked the luxuries of the city. I won't tell you, one of the things that bothers me about people a lot of times is they make decisions based on where the best paying jobs are, but they don't look for the right kind of church. The right kind of church is worth moving close to. The right kind of church is making sure that your children are trained right. The right kind of church is valuable far beyond you can your imagination. The most important thing is, and this is what we all need to go by, how are you going to make a decision? You going to make it like Lot? Make it based on, oh, it's so pretty. Oh, it's so nice. Oh, it's so special. All these luxuries, all these special things are in the city. I want to tell you, that's not the way you make a decision. And it's cost many a person, many a family, many an individual, many a church, many a pastor, many a country, by making decisions based on what I want rather than what God wants. Right now, I can tell you what God wants. God wants us to make the decision that's best for us. If you're not saved, now you can get that settled. Because you think it was bad when God sent fire and brimstone onto Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, that's nothing. Nothing compared to the lake of fire where people are going to spend eternity. The people that burned up in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah with the fire and brimstone. This morning I looked at a YouTube video of somebody that had gone to that region. and the ashes are still there. You can, I mean, there are mounds there, and you can just brush the ashes and break the ashes off. They're just crumbling in your hand. You've got little fireballs of sulfur and brimstone that are still there that had burned out. Witness that God really did send fire and brimstone down on the city and destroyed it like that. And it's just one region where the city was, and then there's none over here. He sent it on the cities. That's why it didn't come down on Lot and his wife when they were heading out. It just came down on the city. How you make decisions. The most important decision, number one, is to make sure you're saved. You make sure your name's in the book of life. If it's not, if there's any doubt in your mind, don't leave this place without getting it settled. And after that, how do you know that you're making the right decision? You seek the will of God. What happened to Abraham when he got to Bethel? He prayed, sought the Lord. That's what we need to do. Every time. No matter how big, how small the decision, we need to make sure that we're going to make it the way the Lord's going to be pleased. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. It's tough sometimes thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened. It's tough thinking about Lot and his family. But Lord, the Word of God says in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. And you showed it on that day. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. If there's one here that's not saved, Lord, let them get it settled today. Don't let them put it off. Help them to make that decision. Regardless of who's here, who's watching, who might come forward or not come forward, Lord, help them not to let anything stop them from making that decision to call on Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Paul, you want to come up? Let's stand, turning our hymnal to